Sermon title today is The Battle Lines Are Drawn. And if you turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. This verse is quoted over and over in the Bible. Many people repeat it, and it's just a great verse in the scripture. But in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now, I like the way it reads it in the New International Version. This is how it reads in the New International Version. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Each one of us are born of God's design with a purpose and a plan. Are you today living out God's plan, God's purpose in your life today? Jesus came in Luke 19 and verse 10 to seek and to save the lost. In John 10:10, he says, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God's goal for you is to be saved. Satan's goal is for you not to be saved. Once saved, God's purpose in your life is to grow you in the Lord Jesus Christ, transforming you into the image of God. The Word says that work that He has started, He is able to finish that work. Satan's goal in your life, once you are saved, is to do what? To drive a wedge between you and your Heavenly Father. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ's ministry is still going on through the hearts and the lives of the believers today through the working of the Holy Spirit. His ministry has not changed. His ministry will not change until we leave this earth. Jesus is still seeking and saving the lost today. Our Heavenly Father is still today transforming people into the image of Jesus. Satan's ministry of evil is also going on today, blinding the eyes of the believer, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. And for the believers to drive a wedge between you and your relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father. Now turn with me to John chapter 6 and verse 63. Some of the scriptures I referred to today, and you can look them up at another time, but because they are very good, but I just wanted to make sure that we go to the certain ones today to move through this. But in John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Jesus said, the words that I share are spiritual. They are not physical. Jesus came to confront the spiritual condition of the people, not their physical condition. You recognize how important that is in the world and the heart of the believer today. Jesus came to confront the spiritual condition of the people. He did not come to confront the physical condition. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. One that we just keep going back to over and over and over again and reading it. In Luke chapter 4, verse 17, "And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord has come upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.' And when he had closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him." In verse 21, he says, "And he began to say to them, 'Today the scripture is fulfilled in your ears.'" Every social ill in the world, now listen to me, every social ill of the world that we live in today has a spiritual dynamic. Many times we're trying to deal with the physical, but we never deal with the spiritual. And that's what we find going on in the world around us. We want to take care of the drug problems. We're going to take care of this problem. We're going to take care of that problem. And we're always dealing with the physical, but we never take a step back and say we need to deal with the spiritual issue that is here. This scripture here in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is telling you why he came to this earth and what he came to do. And Jesus is still doing it today. Do you see that Jesus did not say, I've come to protest against abortion. I've come to protest against drug addiction. I've come to protest against alcoholism. I've come to protest against pornography. I've come to protest against all the ills of the world. He does not say that, because them are only symptoms of the problem that we have in America. And the problem we have in America is not a physical problem. It's a spiritual problem. That's why he came. To save the lost, because saving the lost changes people's lives. To save, to heal, to set free is what he says in that scripture. By healing the spiritual, you will heal the physical. Do you believe that today, church? Do you believe it today that by healing the spiritual, you will heal the physical? And the answer is absolutely yes, it is. Turn with me to look at Ephesians chapter 6. This proves the point. Ephesians chapter 6, a scripture you're all very, very familiar with. But Ephesians chapter 6, and you're going to go down to verse 10. In verse 10 of Ephesians 6, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now look at verse 12. Verse 12 does not say our battle is in the physical. That we're battling the physical problems that we have in America. He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." We do not wrestle in the physical, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against what? Spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Every problem in America, the root of that problem is spiritual. Every social ill in the world has a spiritual dynamic. We do not, the Lord is repeating that to us here in the scripture, we do not wrestle in the physical. Our battle is in the spiritual. The root problem in this world is not drugs, alcohol, abortion, homelessness, or illegal immigration. The root of the problem is the people need to be saved, they need to be healed, they need to be set free, and they need to be liberated by the Spirit of the living God. By the power of God, if you wanted to put a spiritual name to it, I would say beyond not being saved, that the problem in the world and the problem in the United States is idolatry. Idolatry is something we say a lot in the Old Testament, but we don't think that there's an idolatry problem in America today, because we don't worship such as a graven image. Satan doesn't care what you worship as long as you don't worship the one true God. He will allow you and applaud you for worshiping yourself. Whatever you put on the throne of your life, that is what you worship. In America, we put ourselves on the throne instead of God. We said, "God, you sit over here. I'm going to take care of this all by myself, all over here. I've set myself up to worship myself. I am on the throne of my life. I am the one that is in control. I am the one that's making all the decisions." That's idolatry, because it's self-worship. That's a wedge that Satan loves to use to drive between you and your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Satan does not care what you worship as long as it is not God. A famous atheist said this, "I have to believe in evolution." And he was asked the question, "Why do you believe in evolution?" Because he says, "I do not believe in God." And if you don't believe in God, there's the only thing that there is to believe in is evolution. Because you're denying the Lord and His creation. What is that called? Idolatry. Self-worship. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. I'm going to go back to the Old Testament. We'll go back to the Ten Commandments in Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. Now you remember that we've said this over and over, that the first four commandments are in regards to our relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, and the last six commandments is about our relationship with other people. So what we're going to be reading is about our relationship that we need to have with God. So verse 1. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me, with a little g. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. Now listen to the words. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. But in that scripture he says, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. God refuses to share you with anything, even yourself. What is the idol that is in your life today that Satan has used in your life as a wedge to drive between you and your relationship with your Heavenly Father? Is it alcohol? Is it drug addiction? Is it pornography? God is not going to share that with him. He is not going to share himself with your drug addiction. He's not going to share himself with your alcohol dependency. He is not going to share you with anything. And if you have chosen that in your relationship and in your walk in life, that has become your idol. And you've allowed Satan to drive a wedge in between that. Now, if you turn to me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we spent a lot of time at youth on Wednesday night on this scripture. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 3, Second Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. You see what we were talking about earlier? We don't war after things in the flesh. Because there are only symptoms in the physical of what's really going on spiritually that's behind the scene that's really driving the whole thing. So he says, for we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or not physical, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. What is a stronghold? It's a fortress that is in your life that you just cannot overcome. Because Satan likes to put footholds, and he likes to make those become strongholds so they stand between you and your relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father. Is there a foothold that Satan has got in your life, in the spiritual, and that foothold has become a stronghold? You're not going to pull that stronghold down. You're not going to destroy that stronghold by the physical. Listen to me. If you're an alcoholic today and you quit drinking, if you haven't dealt with the issue that is dealt spiritually in your life, what have you become? You have become an alcoholic that does not drink. But if you have dealt with the spiritual or dealt with the spiritual problem in your life, then Jesus wants to liberate you from that you are no longer an alcoholic, but you have been set free by the blood of the Lamb. Because you have dealt with this at a spiritual level. You just can't deal with things, the ills of America, in the physical and not deal with the spiritual and think that this is going to be okay. Because it will not be. Because you have to go to the spiritual problem, the spiritual source of what is really creating that issue that is in your life. Let's take it down very simple. The world that doesn't know Jesus. Are they going to just start giving more money to the church?
Are they just going to become a member of the church? Are they just going to get baptized in dirty water and come up a dirty sinner as well as going down a dirty sinner? It doesn't work. They have to deal with the spiritual problem that's in their life. And the spiritual problem that's in their life is that they don't know Jesus. You have to be saved to be born again. You have to be saved to be a child of God. You can't make up your mind, I'm just going to take care of this and I'm going to do it within myself. This, in this scripture, in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into every thought into captivity in the obedience of Christ. So how do we battle that stronghold in our life? The weapons of our warfare are not physical. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. We deal with it through the Word of God in prayer. Through the Word of God in prayer. That's the weapons that we have. A fortress Satan has encamped in your life, driving you away from your Heavenly Father. At one time, it was a foothold, and now it has become a stronghold. But he tells us that the weapons to destroy this are not carnal, not physical, but spiritual. The weapons available to us are the Word of God and prayer. Is that why you haven't been able to overcome that battle in your life? You've been trying to overcome it in the physical, and you never applied or thought about the spiritual. If you don't deal with the spiritual problem in your life, you will never overcome the physical problem in your life. Think about it just for a moment. If you don't overcome the spiritual problem that is in your life, then you will never overcome the physical problem that is in your life. What did Jesus say? The words that I share, they're not fleshly. They're spiritual. Because the Spirit of God liberates. The Spirit of God sets free. The battle lines have been drawn. It's time to lay it down by submitting it all to Christ. My life, that problem, Jesus set me free. And the question is for the congregation today, are you free today, or are you still behind prison doors? We go back to Luke chapter 4. What did he say? I've come to set the captives free. What in your life is holding you captive? That you cannot be the person that you want to be in the Lord Jesus Christ because the adversary has put this foothold that has become a stronghold in your life, and it's holding you back from doing the things that you would from God because Satan is always bringing it up in your mind. I always said Satan is the master of the instant replay. He will encourage you to do something wrong. He will encourage you to do something wrong. He will encourage you to do something wrong. And then once you do something wrong, he'll play it back over in your mind for the rest of eternity to hinder you in your relationship that you have with the Lord. What in your life today is hindering you in your relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus because you haven't dealt with it in the spiritual, and today you want to deal with it in the spiritual? Would that be you today? Father, we just rejoice in this day that you have given us, and what a special day it was. Oh, Father, we just praise you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy today. We praise you, Father, for the Spirit of God that we feel in this place. We thank you, Father, for touching each and every one of our hearts and our lives. I pray that, Father, as we leave this place, that you would bless us on this holiday weekend, that, Father, you would keep us safe, that your traveling mercies would be upon all of our lives, and those that are not able to be with us here today, Father, be with them. And Father, gather us all back as soon as possible, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.